This week on The Nervous Record.
There was no logic in my mind that was like, this is not your birthday cake. This is a birthday cake that belongs to somebody else that is not you. I just took the cake. I took a fork. I went in the guest room. I didn't even have a bed. I ate that birthday cake on an air mattress.
I'm Amanda Sox, and you're listening to The Nervous Record, where each week I talk to the girl from my high school that was institutionalized about how she's doing 15 years later.
He said, set a timer that you both can see.
We're an hour
in. So go.
No, wait. We have an hour to go.
No, we have 59:49.
Okay, Virgo.
Oh my God, that is so stressful.
Go to that sugar cabinet.
Yep, some sugar. Oh my God, this makes me so stressed out to have that timer going.
This feels like 24.
There we go. It does feel like 24. This is terrible.
Oh God, the world's gonna explode if we don't do this podcast.
Mm-hmm. All right, so tell me what's going on with your week.
Listen, I went to the GI today. Always a fun trip. A waste of $50.
GI is a general.
No.
It's a gastrointestinal doctor.
Yes.
They're just called a GI.
Yeah. Okay. Well, technically they're a gastroenterologist, but it starts with an E.
Oh, yeah.
Gastro. So I don't know where the I comes from. I think it's your GI track.
Okay.
Intestinal.
So your gastrointestinal.
I went to see my gastroenterologist. Enterologist? I don't know. They enter your mouth. Yeah, so that was fun. I've been on a new medication for 3 months that when she put me on it, she was like, this probably ain't gonna do much. I was like, okay. She's like, but I have to try it before I can prescribe other things. I'm like, all right. And she gave me like this whole long list of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
She was writing them down and explaining, but the entire time I'm like, I don't know what any of this means or what it is. And she's just like, and of course, you know, generally there's, you know, there's always going to be the side effect, and it's going to be across the board with all of them. Not the side effect, but the potential side effect, whatever that is. Like, you know, lymphoma, this kind of cancer, that kind of cancer. I'm like, what? Like, I've never had to take a medication where the potential side effect is cancer. Also, the cost. I don't know what I can afford. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's just a lot of like no information, but too much information. And then she was like, you know, in case you're interested in money, if money is a factor, there is a clinical trial of this going on right now.
Ooh.
You are so excited by
a clinical trial. I wish I could get in a clinical trial.
I did not get asked to prom.
No, I want to get a clinical trial of something. Did you do it?
No.
What? Amanda.
Listen, they gave me the paperwork, and it's a big stack of papers with a lot of information. They're like, take it home, think it over, then call us back and tell us if you want to do it or not, and we'll go from there. So I'm thinking about it. No, it's not mushrooms. It's like, it's a medication that people already use. They're just like,
well, so why are they trying it?
Because they're doing clinical tests for UC. It's one of those like rheumatoid arthritis and inflammation.
So they're trying to like flip this
psoriasis.
Medicine.
They're flipping this medicine. New on HDTV. Senior.
Okay.
God, that makes sense. You enter the study not knowing if you get a placebo or not.
That is so cool. Okay, go ahead.
Is it? You do get paid each time you go to the doctor.
Amanda.
I know, but listen, stick with me. It's a 4-week screening process where you're just getting all these tests done, including a colonoscopy. And I'm like, I know I'm supposed to, but like, I don't want to right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that everything is free. So like, I would be getting a colonoscopy, which I need to be doing anyway, but they pay me $180 to get a colonoscopy. Which
you
I had
to quit your job and do that instead.
I had never. That would not pay my bills. I wouldn't. I don't have a job. I would never have thought to put a monetary value on a colonoscopy. Like, sure, I would have said, you can't pay me to do that again. But, like, if I were to say you could pay me this much, it would be more than $180.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't had a colonoscopy, so I don't know. Fine.
Some people, they're just, like, in and out. They feel better.
Were you the one who told me about the fart nurse?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told somebody else about the fart nurse this week.
Yeah. So when you're recovering from a colonoscopy, they put you in the, like, wake-up room and essentially make you lay on your side or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, you're going to expel a large amount of gas. Don't worry. It's fine. And they just, like, leave, and then they come back and be like, how's it going? Have you released any air yet? Have you passed gas yet? Like, and they leave again, come back, and just keep checking and asking you if you farted. And so when I was extremely drugged, I was like, is this just your job? Are you like the fart nurse? She's like, yeah, that's great.
Like, at what point?
I got a good sense of humor.
Do you, in your, like, medical track of your career, do you think, like, do you take a turn for the fart nurse? You know? Like, you go into the medical field thinking, like, I want to save lives. And somehow you end up
asking people if they farted. It's not even, like, pressing their bellies that I know of. Like, she's literally just walking in. And I guess she has several clients, so she's just going from stall to stall asking if they've farted.
Aw.
I know.
I mean, I hate, speaking of farts, first of all, I hate that word, and I'm not going to say it many more times.
Okay.
I've already said it more times than I usually do. But I hate anything that's bathroom humor or body functions.
Okay.
Bodies are gross.
Yeah. And then you have the choice to take medication that will give you cancer, which I want to say, like, maybe I come off as, like, cool and hilarious, but, like, I cried on the way home and then immediately ate pie in bed. I was like, I'm all alone making life decisions. I mean, it's going to be a rat in a lab.
I stress eating in bed quite regularly.
Yeah.
It's great. I ate Pat's Red Devil birthday cake one time because...
What is a Red Devil
cake? I ate Pat's Devil's Food birthday cake.
Okay.
Myself.
What was red about it?
It was red. It was Devil's Food cake.
It was Red Devil's Food. Okay. It wasn't Red Velvet?
Oh, yeah. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
That's
know what you're talking about.
That's it. That was it. It was the night of one of the Hillary Donald debates.
Ugh.
I was so stressed out afterward, and I was in Raleigh visiting my sister, and I went to their fridge. There was no logic in my mind that was like, this is not your birthday cake. This is a birthday cake that belongs to somebody else that is not you. I just took the cake. I took a fork. I went in the guest room. I didn't even have a bed. I ate that birthday cake on an air mattress. And then I hid the container under a pillowcase.
Oh, okay, I just want to back up and get some more details. Had there been a celebration already? Did he blow out candles? Had anyone already had some of the cake?
The cake had been cut.
Okay.
Already. 5 pieces cut out of a big cake. So, everybody had had the one round of cake, but it was, like, his leftover birthday cake.
Right.
Still.
So, in what kind of container?
It was, like, a thing with the plastic. Like, out of the, from the store. From
the, oh, like, yeah. The cake.
Yeah,
the
like, cake it was still that new of a cake.
How
yeah.
in the hell did you hide that under a pillowcase?
You just drape a pillowcase over
oh,
it?
Oh, like an empty pillowcase.
But there were all
but
these...
in the bedroom?
There were crumbs. Yeah, there were all these crumbs in my sheets. Red, little red
Whose
crumbs.
Whose house was this?
Maggie's house.
And you just left?
I mean, I'm sure I probably snuck it out to the garbage. I don't really remember
right.
what happened after that. Every time I go to my sister's house, so this last time I went to visit my sister 2 weeks ago, they had apparently leftover Halloween candy. And she hid it from me, which I ask usually her to do. But, like, the thing is if I'm stressed out, I will go through the place like a raccoon to find the sugar. And I said something to her about I had gone to get something out of the closet in the guest bedroom, and there had been some candy in there. It was very stale. I ate it anyways. It was in an Easter basket.
Oh, God.
I ate it anyways. It was disgusting. Later, I said something about the candy in the closet, and Maggie was like, "You went in my closet?" So when she says that, ding, 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 in my brain was, no, I didn't say anything about Maggie's closet.
That's where the good candy is.
So later, Maggie is, I don't know, she's probably on a jog. She's probably, like, doing the ath part of athleisure, because she's the only one I know that wears athleisure but does athletic things. She was probably went out for a run, and I was like, Yahtzee, here's my chance. I'm going to go get the candy out of it. So she had put it up in their bedroom closet. Go up. It's up on this really high shelf. Two of those jack-o'-lantern-shaped buckets full of Halloween candy, like the good stuff, not Tootsie Rolls, like the good stuff. And so I go to reach to pull down the candy thing, and I'm trying to do this like covertly, but it's fine because I only need a second, just in and out. And I go and go to reach up to the candy bucket, and it falls down on me, but somehow on the way down it hit a piggy bank, which then spilled and clonk hit the floor super hard, and coins just go everywhere. I mean, Pat, fiscally conservative man, has saved every piece of goddamn change that he's gotten in the last 28 years and has put it in this piggy bank, which I have now spilled all over.
Is it shaped like a pig?
The floor. No, I don't even think it was shaped like a pig. Maybe it was a jar. I can't remember exactly, but it was clearly a vehicle for savings.
It was clearly an obstacle to you getting candy.
It spilled out everywhere. There were coins all over the floor, and I'm like, fuck, because I'm like, surely Pat heard that, and he's gonna come in here, and that's even gonna be more awkward than if it were Maggie that heard it. Pat would probably just feel super awkward about the whole thing, be like, no, because he's super polite and accommodating, so he'd probably be like, no, nah, don't worry, it's not a big deal, you were going through our personal closet or whatever. So I'm like scrambling to pick up all the change. Luckily, Pat had been occupied with Davis, my nephew, up in the front part of the house, and so I don't think he heard anything. But then I just realized, like, there were all these shelves, and I had no idea which one the piggy bank was on, like, originally. So I just took a guess and just shoved a whole lot of the candy in my pockets. Then I took a handful and put it in my purse for later. And you would think that I learned my lesson, but I'm probably sure that I went back 2 or 3 times to those candy buckets. It's really bad. And I watched this thing one time. This doctor was talking about addiction. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, as you get older, you become more vulnerable to addiction. The brain becomes more susceptible to addiction because you literally are able to prioritize less things at one time. Whereas when you're younger, you have more of a fighting shot of being able to, you know, be a cocaine addict, but also be a college student at the same time. So your substance starts to edge out the other things that you should prioritize in your life until you get to like total addiction, which is the things that should be priorities in your life just lose priority. And there's just so many times when I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. You know, I was invading my sister's privacy. I was going through their stuff. I was eating candy that was my niece and nephew's. It wasn't even mine. I could have gone out the door, gotten in my car, driven to the gas station, and bought myself $30 worth of candy.
But how much more thrilling was it?
Yeah, really exciting stuff for me. My sister was giving a lecture to me about diet.
Okay.
Great. A couple days ago. She's watched a documentary lately. And apparently, an egg is the worst thing that you can put in your body.
Why?
Because it's got the carcinogens of 2 cigarettes.
Because you cook it?
Because of what they're not telling us.
The chickens? Cagey chicken. I mean, when you...
she was like that an eating one egg has as many carcinogens as smoking 2 cigarettes, which she's saying this to me. I eat eggs and smoke. So I'm like, I don't know what,
I thought you were talking about when you cook it, you get all these carcinogens.
No. So Maggie's giving this sermon on health, and Nate is sitting there in the room.
Oh God.
And he's just trying, because of the fact that he's still new to the family, mm-hmm. he doesn't feel like he can really let his opinions fly, mm-hmm. or not his opinions necessarily. He knows a lot about the human brain and how it works, and he was really disagreeing with a lot of what Maggie was saying, but he was doing it silently and texting it to me across the room.
Right.
He's not a soft-spoken guy, but he was really just, trying to keep a lid on it. While I was like, don't, no, say it, do it. I mean, just have a conversation. Engage in the discourse, because she is lecturing all of us on what is the truth. She was talking about all the things that we have in our food and world and lifestyle that give us cancer now. And one of the things that Nate told me was, so we went upstairs. Usually we go upstairs just to fool around, but this time it was just so that he could let off some steam about, these thoughts that he had bottled up. And he apparently, so the reason that humans get cancer now is because we're the healthiest that we have ever been. Because cancer is what gets your body when nothing else can. So this is why most people don't die of polio, of what are some of the other big diseases? The hot name
That's
diseases.
It. It's That's only just polio. Polio. Yeah.
Only polio? Okay, so if you don't have polio... I'm botching this terribly, but he made a very compelling case. Literally, evolution through time, we have purged our bodies of various other ailments. Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so other ailments that we would have been vulnerable to or susceptible to in the past, we're not anymore. But also, there's just this culture of misinformation. Mm-hmm. He told me about that they
Nate?
Were getting Nate was okay. saying telling me about some instance where people were being told that they were getting sick because of it was dihydromonoxide in the water, and they were able to tell people there's this dihydromonoxide in the water and it's causing problems and it's causing you to be sick. I don't know whose water it was, who they were saying this to. I don't remember these details, but in some kind of Aaron Brockovich situation, there's a water problem in a town and they're telling people it's because of the dihydromonoxide. Dihydromonoxide, so di is 2 mm-hmm. and hydra is hydrogen, and then mono is 1 and then oxide is oxygen. They were telling people that there was H2O in the water. They just rebranded it. They gave it a scary name, a science name, a poison name that nobody could recognize. But really, there was nothing wrong. But people, I guess, were getting sick or something like that. It's a way cooler story when he tells it, Dave.
What's the point of it?
The point of it is that people believe anything you tell
like
them.
Every documentary. Yeah.
Yes, people will believe any health myth or fad.
I usually look at everything as like, this one thing can't be the whole truth, and the whole truth cannot be known. Sure, there's a lot of things now that we can explain through science, but yeah. also maybe not, or, you know,
that's
or
how
not
I am yet. About my sugar addiction. I'm like, you know, I feel like.
Is it really sugar?
Is it really sugar addiction? Maybe we just don't know yet what
it
is.
What's in this candy bar?
What it is. But it's the worst ever. It's really bad. And this week I saw pictures of myself. And I can see, like, the toll that eating sugar every day and not much else has taken on my body. But also, that's all my body's running on right now. And I got to get through the holidays at least. So God. That's not a good way to think, right?
You want some peanuts?
That's a priorities thing. Like, it's the, I mean, it just, it, I don't know what to do. I mean, literally, like, I think yesterday was a day I didn't have gummy bears. If I'm gummy bear sober for a day, I am really excited about it. Today, I had to go to the pharmacy to get something and I got gummy bears on the way out and I ate them in my car.
When like, you get, when you, I mean, for lack of better words, rid yourself of one compulsive behavior. Do you just fill it with another compulsive behavior?
Yup.
Yeah, me too.
That's exactly what I do. What's your favorite compulsive behavior?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Which ones have you had? Can you say? I didn't mean for that to sound like.
When I'm 102, I'll tell all of my secrets.
I'm not going to live till you're 102.
So,
doing it. That was one of yours. I remember that for sure.
no, that's like that was the love addiction thing that I was looking
yes.
into. Like inability for like true mature intimacy in relationships or mature love, but just like the thrill of the like, you know, flirtation stage and all that. I mean, obviously drinking.
God, I love drinking.
I know. And that's been worse at times. Like, as many people do, or, you know, like, on the verge of, like, am I an alcoholic? Like, I'm definitely, you know, treating this anxiety or depression or, you know.
When you're
like,
drinking bourbon alone in your bed in the middle of the night because you woke up to let your dog outside.
I mean, they used to make kids do that to go back to sleep,
That's true. That's true.
Not that that's good.
I know. When you texted me today to go get Bloody Marys, do you know priorities? I was like on my way out the door to work, and I literally did think for a moment, like, I really don't need to go to work today. I really just need to go have a Bloody Mary. A fucking spicy Bloody Mary sounds delicious right now. It's like kind of cold outside.
Yeah.
It just sounds great.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I was like, Leah, go to work. Do a job. So we know I'm not, you know, maybe there's hope for me.
Yeah.
I need a different one. I can't afford to buy all new clothes, so I need to get a different behavior, like, starting up pretty quickly here.
Yeah.
And I
remember when you were paleo.
Yes, I...
Did you, like, get obsessive into it?
Oh, for sure. I get obsessive into it. I mean,
everything.
You met me at the beginning of the summer, and I was like, I'm just going to eat rice now and mung beans. And I'm devoted to that. Like, I will do it to the 100 millionth degree. 100 million isn't a number. It is a number, but it's not a degree. And I, to this extent, until I burn myself out on it, and then it just, another thing has to take its place.
Mm-hmm.
I can sub out alcohol, compulsive spending. Last year it was compulsive crafting.
Compulsive spending is another one of mine.
The most recurring one is eating sugar.
Sorry, this is such a sidebar. You said you take a fistful of pills every morning?
It is a fistful of pills every morning and evening. See, I don't sleep, so.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I took a sleep test. I get less sleep than the average North Korean person.
why would you know this information?
Because I looked at the stats.
I'm sure they sleep okay. They don't have anything else to do.
No, they sleep like 4 hours a night.
What?
Yeah. Oh, no. Don't you understand why they want to bomb the whole world?
Because they don't have enough sleep.
Because they don't get enough sleep. And sleep is what makes people racist. Wait, did I tell you about this?
What? Sleep makes people racist?
Lack of sleep makes people racist.
Lack
of sleep.
I didn't know that.
Did I tell you this?
No.
Oh my God, it's so fascinating. So sleep, the part of your brain that has to do with bias is impaired by lack of sleep, or is enhanced. I don't know which one it would be, but is affected by lack of sleep. So people who, I really want Nate to explain this because it's so fascinating to me.
I don't need this. I got so much pie.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Can you tell me why not getting sleep makes you a racist again?
It's not that it makes you racist. It's that sleep deprivation. Studies show that sleep deprivation shows an increase in implicit bias, and adequate sleep shows an elimination of implicit bias among participants in the study.
Gotcha.
So could you just, like, generalize that to be, like, that person is so judgmental, they need more sleep?
That's probably just not the safest generalization.
I mean, generalizations are always safe, right?
I tried to retell your dihydromonoxide story, but I didn't remember what the point of it was. I was like, Nate told me this really fascinating thing, and it was like Aaron Brockovich.
They're still like, what?
Aaron Brockovich.
What the hell?
Do you know that movie?
Yes, but how was I like Aaron Brockovich?
You're like Aaron Brockovich. You're like folksy and sassy, telling people what's in the water. But
wearing mini skirts,
showing a little too much cleavage, but getting the job done.
Oh, my God.
But we set the timer. Was that just to keep us running?
It helps you be cognizant of the time, and it eliminates a lot of the little chit-chat. It keeps you kind of, the intent is to kind of keep you focused in.
Little chit-chat. But our whole entire podcast is just little chit-chat. Like, that's,
we should like, rename it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that was one of the working names of the podcast, was just Lil, L-I-L. apostrophe chit chat.
Well, just how would you do your little chit chat if you had an hour to do it?
I understand the concept. I approve of it. Leah hates the timer.
I don't like it.
I like it.
I hate it.
This is the worst thing ever.
It makes me anxious, and it doesn't make me feel free. I told her also the thing about how cancer is what you get when you can't get anything else, when you can't get any of the other diseases like polio, and then I couldn't name any other diseases than polio.
Huh. Maybe the plague?
The plague. Mm-hmm. What plague is that?
The bubonic.
Oh, bubonic plague. Ebola virus? That's a...
Ebola, cholera.
Cholera, yeah, that's another old-timey one. What's your favorite disease?
Are you talking to him or me?
I'm just talking to the floor. I'm opening up to the floor.
I want to go beyond diseases and say, what's your favorite old-timey cause of death?
Ooh, yes.
Have you ever seen those? When we drove through Deadwood on one of our cross-country trips, inside, I don't know, like a little museum or something that they have a framed... Like, this person died from 12 rotten eggs. This person died from bar stool. All sorts of fun things.
Old-timey cause of death.
It's a very specific.
Dual, easy.
Oh.
Dual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just buried alive, to me, is just.
Jesus.
What about you, Nate?
He said dual.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I like stool better. I liked Amanda's suggestion of bar stool. You know what is the best ever cause of death?
What?
Drowning to death in maple syrup. This is real. There was a flood of maple syrup in Boston in like the early 20th century. Google it. It's real. The great. Hold on. No. I'm going to Google it.
You Google that. I'm so Googling.
Boston molasses disaster. The Great Molasses Flood, also known as the Boston Molasses Disaster or the Great Boston Molasses Flood, occurred on January 15, 1919, in the North End neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts. A large molasses storage tank burst and a wave of molasses rushed through the streets at an estimated 35 miles an hour, killing 21 and injuring 150. That's the coolest thing ever.
Next time on The Nervous Record.
CIA receptionist. How do you get that job?
I would love that. Hello, you've reached the...
Line's breaking up. I can't hear... Oh, it's...
Meep, 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 meep.
So if you want to go to patreon.com and become one of our patrons...
Yeah, you can find us there. At patreon.com/thenervousrecord.
Subscribe to us and you can give in increments as small as $1 a month, and our subscribers will have access to special perks like exclusive content.
That's true. That's not like naked stuff though.
It might be.
What?
Let's not
for $500 a month.
Let's not take it off the table.
All right, Liz, promising a lot.